Well, you know, it just never ceases to amaze me to see how God works so far ahead of us in what we're doing. And as my brother shared his testimony, and as we look, you know, at another's testimony in Scripture, and just to see how powerful our walk and the way that we respond to the things that come our way, first of all, how much they affect our lives and our families' lives, but those around us. I mean, people that we don't even know, the way people respond to the way we respond to what comes our way. And it's just, it was such a blessing to hear the testimony, and as we sang about not being ashamed, you know, you, brother, you were saved at a young age, praise the Lord. I wish my testimony was that. But it's so interesting because as you shared about your coming to know Christ and how you didn't know what it meant and you didn't know, you know, all those theological things and whatnot. I was saved at 33 years old. And as you were speaking about what you experienced as a child, that's where I was. It was the same emotion. It was the same thing. Not having any idea what was going to happen in my life. Not having any idea what kind of changes were going to come. Having no idea. It was so cute. A pastor had invited my wife and I to church. A guy that my wife had worked with. And you know, we didn't go to church in my family. We didn't do that kind of churchy religious stuff, you know, all that. Because, you know, we just didn't do that. Because obviously those churchy guys are a bunch of crazy people that you really didn't want to hang out with. And now I am one. But it was so interesting. As the pastor came to visit my wife and I at our house, I just knew that God had been working in my heart. I knew after going to church a couple times and hearing the gospel that it was something that had to happen in me, not having any idea what that meant. And the pastor comes to the door and he knocks on the door and it's like, hey, how's it going? I go, and then I just blurt out, I go, you know, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I mean, I have no idea what that means. He's crying and everything, and I go, what's wrong with this guy? Crying out loud, you know. Anyway, I was just so ignorant to it all, and yet God met me where I was, and it was just so encouraging to see that happen, and what a wonderful testimony it is to say I was saved at a young age, and I didn't have to go through all that stuff. You know, I wonder who I'd be, you know, had I not destroyed all those brain cells and gone through those things that I went through. But here's where I am, and this is where God has me, and those things that we've gone through make us who we are today. And allow us to perhaps minister to some that others cannot, and those kinds of things. And so, I am not proud of some of the things that I've done or the decisions that I've made, but I'm certainly proud of the change that God's made in my life. Amen. 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 So, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John 1. That's not the Gospel of John. That's the next John down the road. So, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that you speak to us boldly, Lord. And what an encouraging thing, what a privilege it is, Lord, that you chose us, your people, to further your kingdom. Thank you for allowing us to be part of what you're doing. Thank you for those that you brought out here on Saturday morning. Lord, what a privilege that we get to be part, again, of what you're doing here. And we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, just reveal truth to us, Lord, and that we would be obedient to that, Lord, and that we would respond in a way that would be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is really cool. Book of 1 John. It's kind of neat because Mike and I are sort of doing kind of a parallel thing here and starting a new sort of a new work. And you know, the church is kind of going here, but Mike, you know, Mike and Grace coming new, and my wife and I are starting a new work of the MacArthur, just kind of letting God do what God does best, and sort of feeling like a doorkeeper, I guess maybe, and that you know, we being obedient to what God would have us do, and then letting God do the rest. And it's really exciting to see so many out here. Anyway, that's just exciting to see so many. I just wanted to throw that in there. But back to John here. Now here's what's going on. You got. You know, here's John who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, sat with him, you know, ate meals with him, sat under his teaching, cried with him, loved on him, put his head on his chest, and was comforted by him. And we're 60, 70, 80 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and we're seeing already in the church false teaching beginning to work in. We're seeing people coming in not telling the truth. We're seeing people come in and say, if you just know enough, if you just have enough knowledge, if you just study hard enough, you're really going to figure out what salvation is. It has nothing to do with the relationship. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual. It's all just head knowledge. Well, John's saying, he's saying enough. I want to begin to set things straight here. So he writes this letter to the churches, most likely to be circulated amongst multiple churches, to help people out and help them understand what it means to be a Christian, what that person looks like, and what perhaps false teachers might look like. And so he starts out, he says, this is chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have the fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Okay, here it is in a nutshell. This isn't going to be long, okay? Are you paying attention? No, just kidding. I know you are. John isn't sharing what he heard from Pastor Mike or Pete or any testimony. John is sharing what he experienced firsthand. He is sharing what he went through. He is sharing what he touched, what he handled, the word of life, meaning Jesus, okay? That's what he's talking about. John, in effect, is about to share his testimony. He is going to share what he experienced. If you want to keep your finger there and turn back to Genesis chapter 32, actually, starting in 32:22, basically. What we see happening here is Jacob having an encounter with God. Jacob literally wrestles with God. Chapter 32, starting 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Well, as we learn as we read on, that Jacob then had a limp because of that encounter with God. He had a different walk because of the encounter that he had with God. Well, if we had time, we would go on, and I'm just going to tell you the story. But Jacob, because of his guilt, because of his conniving and scheming, if you will, the scheming to get the birthright from his brother by having his dad give him the blessing instead of his brother, which he didn't need to scheme anyway because God had already promised that was going to happen, but that's another story. He had this guilty conscience thing going on, okay? And so he hears that his brother is coming to meet him with 400 men. So because of this guilt that's going through his head, he's dreaming up all these problems that can go on. He's thinking, wow, you know, my brother's coming to kill me, right? So what's the first thing you do when somebody's going to attack you? Well, you send out the family members you don't like first, right? Which is what he did. You know, so he sent the wives and the children and the servants along ahead, and he sent these waves of people out there. Well, his brother Esau simply wanted to come love on him, is what he wanted. So Jacob's had these incredible encounters with God. One massive encounter in which God changes his entire walk, okay, his limb. He meets his brother, and because of these things going on in his head, because of this relationship that was never taken care of 20 years back, all these problems that he invents, but the first thing that he does after sending these waves of people out to meet his brother is he bows down to his brother 7 times, calling him Lord. He bows down. He calls him Lord. God's already promised that his brother was going to serve him. He's totally abandoned and forgotten about that place in which God had put him, that authority in which God had already given him. And the other part of this, which is really the whole point of today's message, in a nutshell, is that he hid his walk. He hid his limp. He never said a word to his brother about the encounter that he had with God. He never showed that difference in him that was there. And I think about us as guys. I mean, here we are. Go ahead and go back to 1 John there. You know, when we park our vehicles here at the depot or along the street or whatever, you are saying to your community, and this is a relatively small community still, people know other people's vehicles, especially the neighborhood, that kind of thing. You're saying to your community, I'm different. I have a different walk because of my encounter with God. I'm different now. And so by simply attending, regardless of what's happened in your heart, and perfectly there's been a changed heart, perfectly you do understand what it means to know Jesus as Savior, but as was talked about before, also as Lord, and what that means. And so, our walk is who we are. Our walk is what we believe. You know, I met you guys briefly, we talked a little bit over breakfast, that kind of thing, and you know, short periods of time, you can fool most anybody about anything. But it's that daily walk. It's that walk as you're going through cancer. It's that walk as you're dealing with relationship issues, divorce, financial issues, those kind of things. That's the time that we as guys, especially, it is so critical that we not hide that limp that God has given us because of the encounter that we had with Him, because of our relationship with Him. That's the time that we demonstrate that difference that's in us. That's when people will come to us and say, what is it with that limp that you have? What's going on with this difference in the way that you're handling situation? I'm seeing you respond in ways that I've never seen before. I want to come hang out in your room because there's a peace there that I've never experienced. I want to come see what's going on at Calvary Chapel Susanville on this men's breakfast thing. This looks like a pretty cool thing that's happening. There's bacon involved. Hello. You know, come on. You know, but that's the thing. I mean, you're making a statement. You're saying by being here that I'm different. And then, and this, I want this to be an encouragement. This isn't a guilt trip or anything like that. What an incredible opportunity that we have as we go out that door and we do the things that we do is to show that limp. Is to show that there has been an encounter with God, that there is something different there, and that we're not embarrassed by it, and we're proud of it. It's like, we don't get to choose what comes our way. Brother, you didn't choose cancer. And you wouldn't. I mean, who would, for that matter, right? But you did pray that prayer, and you trusted your Lord and Savior, and He's grown you through it. And lives are changed because of that. And not just you, and not just your wife, and not just your children. You've got a group of guys here now that are affected by what God has done through that. And that's the same for all of us. We don't realize how many people are watching every single move we make. Everything that we do. They're watching everything. When you have demonstrated that limp, when you've said there's something different in my life, and you've called yourself a Christian, you've prayed before a meal, you've opened your Bible at lunchtime, you've said something to these people that indicate you're different. You've said something that indicates that there's a walk there. They're watching. And again, this is not a guilt trip. It's a privilege. It is a privilege made in His image that we get to demonstrate Him to the people that we're around. But it's that everything that we do and that every way that we respond to the things that come our way, the unexpected things and the expected things. Honestly, this is crazy, but listen. It's the facial expressions that we make when we're cut off in traffic. When somebody runs the yellow to red light, you know, right in front of us, and it was really our turn to go, right? And it's that look that we give, and it's like, oh, that was my neighbor, you know, or oh, that was the pastor, you know, or whatever. But we communicate so boldly with our nonverbals, with our hand gestures, and with our facial expressions, and those kind of things. And it's remembering that we're communicating, you know, every second that we're awake. We're communicating things to people, and people are watching how we respond to what comes our way. Just listening to people talk and that kind of thing. I mean, honestly, I mean, we blow it. I mean, we really do, and I do, and you know, God is great. We learned in 1 John, you know, 1:9, says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That does not give us license to be idiots. I mean, it truly doesn't. And it doesn't mean that we have to walk on eggshells or tippy toe, but it does mean that we need to remember and be conscious of at all times we are representing our Savior in everything that we do, and it's so important that we not hide that walk. And we're not just representing our Savior. Truly, I mean, you're representing this group of men. You're representing Pastor Mike and Grace and this fellowship. You're representing Christians as a whole. I mean, how many times have you heard on the media when there's some fool that does something, they commit some kind of horrible crime or murder or whatever it might be, you know, in the name of Christianity, and then all of a sudden you hear all Christians grouped together. They're all a bunch of wackos, you know. They're a bunch of nuts, you know. I don't want any part of that. But look at them. They're all a bunch of hypocrites, you know. And, well, we are at times, you know. But it's just so important because you really are representing everything. And back in Genesis, we really saw Jacob blow it. He had every opportunity to demonstrate his spiritual leadership, to walk in that place that God had him with his family. He blew it. He kept his favorite wife and his favorite son back with him, you know. So if there was going to be problems, it would be all the rest of the family. And that ended up affecting his family for the remainder of time, as you learn as you go through Genesis. And it was not a good thing. I think that we as gentlemen, as we as guys, you know, if we can begin to understand what it means to walk in that place where God would have us, I want to read a little bit more from 1 John because it really says it well. John's giving this testimony for the reason, and he makes it very clear in verse 4. He says, I write these things, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. He wants to share what he's experienced. He wants everybody to be able to walk in that spot that's pleasing to him. Just jumping ahead a little bit over in chapter 2, verse 21. I love this because we as guys can know things. We as people, not just guys. We know things in our head. We understand them up here. But we don't see them always come out of our mouth or in our actions. You know what I mean, guys? It's like, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe that came out of my mouth. You know, kind of a thing. I can't believe I responded that way to my wife or to my congregation or whatever it is. And we do that. And so here's what John says. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. He's saying, I'm not writing to you because you're a bunch of idiots. I'm writing to you because you forget sometimes. I want to remind you. And it's like, that's what's so great about coming together as a group of guys, coming together for midweek Bible study, coming together for prayer meeting, for Sunday service, is it's not always brand new stuff to us. You know what I mean? It's like, what? I've heard that already before. Well, we need to be reminded. I do, anyway. I need to constantly have someone encouraging me and telling me that it's like, you know what, Pete, you are a child of the King. You do need to walk in that spot, in that place where God has you. You do have that authority. You can say those things and know that you're saying them under the guidance and direction and authority of our Lord and Savior. And to not be a mousy, wimpy kind of Christian. I can walk in boldness. I can share my testimony. I can tell people what God has done in my life and know that that's probably one of the most powerful things that can be done, in that if I try to share Scripture, when Scripture is powerful, there's no question, but I have people just shut me down in a heartbeat and say, I don't believe the Bible. Well, you know what they can't argue with is your testimony. They can't argue with cancer vanishing. They can't argue with the way that you handle that situation that the world would say you should have crumbled under all that pressure and those things. And I think if every one of us in this room can think back at a situation or something that we've gone through that at that time seemed impossible. It's like, there's no way to get through this. I see no way out. And I look back at some of the things I went through raising teenagers, and my daughter, I just love her to death. And she's now grown out of this, but she went through this rebellion that was just, I've never experienced anything like it. If you said it was light, she'd say it was dark, and those kinds of things. And I mean, it was just this constant head crashing with God. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not just in tears, you know. I'll never get through this kind of thing. You know, and I could just hear him like, you can get through it. And they're so cute now. She has two children, you know, she calls twice a day just to talk because she's lonely. And it's just wonderful to see her back. But God's got us through those things. We're here. If he hadn't, then he wouldn't be here. And you're here. And so it's like that building block of faith. I mean, it's like when that next thing comes, you know, you can look back on what you've gone through and know that he's going to be there for that next time too. And I guess in closing, I want to be faithful to our time schedule here, but in closing, that we would remember, and I want you to be encouraged with this. I always like to think of, you know, try to boil this down to one out the door, hit the dirt point. What's that all mean? Otherwise, it's head knowledge, and you can go to the library and get it, right? If it doesn't affect your life. I mean, seriously. So what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? What a privilege. Here it is. What a privilege God has given us. He created us in his image. He's given us an opportunity to demonstrate who he is to our community, to our circle, those around us. That is incredible. You have been given that privilege to do that. And that they get to know Jesus through you. That's it. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of representing you in all that we do. Thank you for the privilege of being able to respond in a way that would represent you. To respond in a way to things that come our way that glorify you. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you for each one that's here, Lord. I know that all of us are going through things. Lord, there's stuff going on in our lives that maybe we talked about, maybe we haven't, Lord, maybe we're just keeping it in. Lord, I, my prayer would be that we would want to share that with someone, that we would want to get prayer for that, Lord, and that we would trust you through it, and that we would respond to those things in a way that would glorify you, and that we would look different, and that our walk would be different, and that we would not hide our limb. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.